Well, before we come to the Word, let's go before the Lord once again, asking for His blessing upon this time. When we speak about the things out of the Word of God, it tells us that these things are spiritually appraised. And the only way that we're ever going to understand them is if the Spirit of God comes and teaches us through His Word. But let's pray that He would do that this morning and make His Word effective in our hearts today. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come into Your presence once again, we are reminded that Your Word is a spiritual Word. It's not something that's physical. It's not something, Lord, that we can lay our hands on, as it were. But Lord, we know that You have purposed that the words of the book that You have written should touch our hearts. And we know, Lord, that will never occur unless You send Your Spirit to be our helper, that You send Your Spirit to open up our hearts, that You would cause the stony heart that is there to be moved away, and that You would give hearts of flesh, and that we would be able to understand and receive the things that You have for us. Father, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who have already been made new creatures in Christ, we, Lord, come with our mouths wide open this morning, and we would desire that You would feed us with the good things of Your Word. But we pray, our Father, also that You would come in convicting power through Your Word this morning, and that You would cause those who are without Christ to see their need of a Savior and to come to believe upon You this day. And so come and be our help in this hour, we pray, and we commit ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in World War II, there was a slogan that was coined. Perhaps some of you are familiar with it. Loose lips sink ships. It was a slogan that was coined to make people aware of the fact that the words that they say have an effect upon what happens around them. And so this word, loose lips sink ships, was to warn people about unguarded talk. Now, this slogan was put up on posters on the walls of the U.S. Office of War Information. And it was put there so that the people who were interacting with war information would be reminded of the fact that the things that they heard in that office are secret, and they shouldn't go out and spill those things to everyone who's around them, because there may be enemy spies lurking about and looking for opportunity to get information that could lead to the sinking of a ship or to the location of certain troops. And so this slogan, loose lips sink ships, was coined. Even the world recognizes the importance of being careful about what you say, to whom you say it, when you say it. The world recognizes that this is an important thing. But the Bible also recognizes this reality. And the Bible recognized it long before the world recognized it. It's only in the mercy of God that the world ever recognized this reality. We come today to return to our series in the themes in the Proverbs. And we come to theme number 10, and it's the tongue, as you probably are already aware. We're going to consider the tongue. Now, there is a tremendous amount of material on the tongue in the Proverbs, and I originally planned to stand up here and say that I only plan to take one message to address this, But in God's providence, it's going to be two messages that we're going to take to address this very important subject. And so this morning, we're going to begin to look at this subject on the tongue. And I believe the first week of next month, I'll be completing this short series on the tongue. Well, we're going to be opening up the theme of the tongue under two headings. The first heading is the scourge of an unbridled tongue, and that's this morning. And so it's not a super encouraging word, but I would remind you that not everything in the Word of God is used for our encouragement, but some of the things that God has given us in His Word is used for our warning, and also that we might be conformed to the image of our Savior. And so this morning we look at the scourge of an unbridled tongue. And then in the grace of God, perhaps in a month's time, we will be considering the blessings of the sanctified tongue. And then we will make some applications along the way. Well, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to James 3. It's interesting I should ask you to turn there after this is a series in the Proverbs. But James 3 is perhaps one of the most famous passages of Scripture about the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. And I wanted to read that for us before we begin, or as we begin this morning. James 3 and verse 5 to down to verse 8. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. But the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And so the importance of the tongue is set before us in this passage of Scripture. The scourge of the unbridled tongue. The unbridled tongue is an ugly thing. It cuts, it provokes, it destroys relationships, it's boastful, it's arrogant, it's filthy, it's perverse, it destroys a person's good name. And it's set on fire, tells verse 6 of James 3 to us. It's set on fire by hell itself. A very tiny little thing that's in our mouths, and how much damage this little thing can do. Well, we're going to be looking at this little tongue this morning by going through the book of Proverbs and looking at various categories of the tongue, of the sinful tongue, the unbridled tongue. And my purpose is that as we listen and as we go through and turn to many passages in the Proverbs, that we would become so disgusted with the unbridled tongue that we would stay away from such things. Now, I'm not the one standing here to preach these things because I am without blame when it comes to my tongue. The Lord knows I have sinned with my tongues many times. The Lord knows I sinned with my tongue yesterday, and my wife can let you know that. So I'm not here because I've got this all figured out. But I'm here because the Lord has given us his word. He's given us his truth that it can benefit us and help us to come to Christ. And so that's why I'm here bringing you this word today, not because I'm an expert, but because I am forgiven. And I can stand here and proclaim the Lord's truth by his grace. And may we see the mind of Christ in his word, and may we seek to depart from an unbridled tongue. Well, as we come to the word this morning, we're going to look at six characteristics of the unbridled tongue. And we're going to look at six characteristics because I think that we see these characteristics plainly, but there is a lot of overlap in these characteristics, and you'll see that as we go through here. But I think that these things would be helpful in terms for us to think about as we come to consider our tongues today. And so in the first place, we want to consider the liar. Turn with me to Proverbs 6 and verses 16 to 19. And here's an excellent place to begin. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among his brothers. You could almost say, if we would include spreading strife among your brothers, we could say that three out of the seven things which it says that God hates are sins of the tongue. Two of them very directly have regard to this issue of being a liar. In verse 17, it says he hates a lying tongue. And in verse 19, it says a false witness who utters lies. And so at the very outset, we see God hates a lying tongue. This is something that God despises, and he despises it more than he despises other things, because it's three out of the six things that God despises. Chapter 12 and verse 22 also reminds us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So not only does he hate them, but they're an abomination to him, the lying lips. Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 19. Chapter 12 and verse 19. And it says, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Do you think that your lying is going to get you ahead? And many people think this, well, if I cover up this, or I don't mention that I'm going to be able to get ahead in life. Well, this passage before us tells us that a lying tongue is only for a moment. A lying tongue is not going to be established forever like the truthful lips, but the lying tongue is only for a moment. We're reminded of the words, remember that your sins will find you out. And this is what we're reminded of when we think about lying. Your sins are going to catch up with you. Your lies are going to catch up with you. The time is going to run out, and the day is going to come when your lies catch up with you. Your benefits are only for a moment. In chapter 21, in verse 6, he says this, getting treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor. It's a fleeting vapor. If you're going to get treasures by a lying tongue, think of it as a fleeting vapor. What's a vapor? Well, you can't even hardly see it, and it's gone. You can't grab it or anything like that. And so it is with the benefits that come from lying. You think you're out there, you think you're going to grab them, but poof, it's gone. There's no benefit to be had. There's only judgment for the sin that comes from lying. Another thing that we think about is this reality, many people say, that a little lie won't harm anyone. Over in chapter 26 and verse 28, it says these words, a lying tongue hates those who it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Do you think a lying tongue really loves those people that it lies to? It doesn't. It says that he hates those whom it crushes. Does our lies hurt people? Does our lies destroy people? Think about the reputations, the good names of people that have been destroyed because of lies to make another person look good. Think about how it destroys and how it cuts. Lies cause great harm. But then I want to finish this portion with having us turn to chapter 30 and verses 7 to 8. And as you can tell, we're going to be turning to a lot of text today because we're going to see it in God's Word. I'm not going to just hear it from my mouth. And this is a prayer of the one of Agur. It's a prayer to the Lord. And it's in verse 7 and 8. And he says, "Two things I asked of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion." He asks two things from the Lord. One is that he wouldn't make him either rich or poor, but just give him enough that he needs for his sustenance. And the other thing he asked for is that he would keep him from telling lies. That's an amazing thing, that the writer of the Proverbs would see this as one of the most important things, that he would keep deception and lies from me. Why would he pray this? And I believe the reason why he would pray this is because it is so easy to tell a lie when you're in a pinch. And little kids learn this from the earliest days of their life. You know, if I tell mommy or daddy or I tell my teacher a lie, I'm going to be out of trouble. And so from the earliest days of your life as a child, growing up through adulthood, you know that if you can get out of a tight spot, you can get out of a pinch by telling a lie. And it would be quickly over. Everything would dissipate. Well, the fact of the matter is the Lord knew that you told that lie. And that's why Agur writes and prays, "Lord, keep deception and lies far from me. Because I know the tendency that I have to fall into this temptation to lie. And none of us is exempt from this temptation. And if you think that you are, that you're a fool," which we're going to get to next. "But beware of lying, especially when you're young, because it could become a very, very serious habit." You begin to lie and you see, "Oh, this works. It works well." And I tell another lie and I tell another lie. And before you know it, you can't tell whether the person is telling the truth or telling a lie. Sometimes the people don't even know if they're telling a truth or a lie because it becomes such a habit in their lives. Well, I want you to turn over very quickly to the end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18. And on this note, we're going to complete our thoughts on the liar. Chapter 21 and verse 8. And he's talking in this passage about the types of people that are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's some pretty grotesque people that are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he says in verse 8, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Well, you think, well, I just tell a couple of little lies. Well, God looks at you just like he looks at an immoral person or a sorcerer or an idolater. And he says, your part will not be in the kingdom of heaven. Your part will be in the fire, or the lake of fire that burns, where all these other sorts of people will go. You will be there with them. And so the first category that we see in the book of Proverbs of unsanctified speech is the liar. The second one that we want to observe is the foolish mouth. The foolish mouth. And this one is really difficult to break off on its own because this one interacts with so many of the other categories, and it is more or less a general category. But in chapter 15 in verse 2, it says this, "The mouth of the fool spouts folly." And it's kind of a catch-all. It spouts folly. It spouts things that are not worthwhile. It spouts nonsense. It spouts hurtful words. It spouts dirty words, profanities. It spouts backbiting and filthy talk. All kinds of categories like this fall into this area of the mouth of fools spouts folly. And again, think about your own speech. Think about when you're at work and you're interacting with people who are around you, what kind of language are they hearing coming out of your mouth? Here's the question that you have to ask yourself, because this is the question that is pressed on us as we read these passages of Scripture. Turn to chapter 18 and verse 2. One of the marks of the foolish mouth is given to us in verse 2 of chapter 18. It says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." Have you ever interacted with a person where you're sitting and having a conversation with that person and you're talking, but you recognize that when you're talking, that person is not really listening to you. They're really thinking about what they're going to say next. Yeah, I think everybody recognizes that. And I think it's another temptation that we all have ourselves to do that. Because, you know, we're always wanting to, I'm thinking about it. And we don't listen to people. But the fool, it says, is interested in revealing his own mind. In comparison to that, we see in verse 2, the fool does not delight in understanding. You see, how does understanding come? Understanding comes from listening, doesn't it? But you see, he doesn't delight in that. He just delights in revealing what's in his own mind. What am I going to say next? That is the picture of the fool. When we're in a conversation, seek to benefit from what your brother or your sister or your friend has to say to you. Listen to people. Don't be the fool who is always thinking about the next thing that he's going to say rather than delighting in understanding. Chapter 10 and verse 18. And here we come to address a couple of words that is associated with the fool. It says in verse 18 of chapter 10, "He who spreads slander is a fool." Slander, what's slander? Well, slander is using your words to tear somebody apart, right? To break down somebody. That's what slander is. And it says that a fool is one who spreads slander. Now, it's not only, he doesn't only, or she doesn't only have to be the originator of the information, but she could also, or he could also have been one who heard a piece of information from somebody else and takes that information and continues to slander others. And so oftentimes the slander is associated with the mouth of the fool. But another word that's associated, and it's found for us in chapter 18 and verse 6, is the term strife. A fool's lips bring forth strife. The fool doesn't know how to guard his words. Strife is promoting disagreement, bitter disagreement amongst people. And so the fool is one who provokes bitter disagreement amongst people. It causes arguments. You know, you're seeking to have people arguing with each other and fighting for their perspective. And this is the mouth of the fool described here. It brings strife. He doesn't know when to speak proper and appropriate words to keep from strife building up. And as the people of God, we should seek to be dispersing strife and not seeking to bring strife amidst the people of God. And so when we think of this term, this category of foolish speech or the foolish mouth, what would people say about you? How would they describe your conversation? How would they describe you? What kinds of words come out of your lips? Are they edifying words? Are they beneficial words? Are they provoking words? Are they words that drive people to argue and fight with one another? Are you one who listens, or are you one that hardens your heart and only wants to speak and be heard? And so may God help us not to be foolish with our speech. Number three, the excessive talker. The excessive talker. Chapter 10 and verse 18 says this. Oh, yes. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. He who spreads slander is a fool. Verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. So here's the picture of a person who talks a lot. And there are some people that are more inclined to talk a lot than other people are inclined to talk a lot. And so really, this warning is for you. If that's the kind of a person that you are, if you're inclined to talk a lot, take warning. In verse 19, it says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Now, originally, I wrote in my notes that there is a very real possibility of sin when you speak a lot. That's not what the passage says. It says, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable. And so if you are a person of many words, you are going to fall into sin with regard to your words at some point in time, because the writer to the Proverbs, Solomon, is saying it's unavoidable. When you talk a lot, you're going to sin with your lips. Person is always chiming in, always has an opinion about everything. And this is what's being spoken of here. This kind of a person. And we have to be very careful. If we're a talkative type of a person, we need to take to heart this warning that comes to us not to be an excessive talker. Well, secondly, I want you to consider chapter 10 and verses 8 and 10. And this verse is going to use the term a babbler. And this is what we want to consider next, a babbler. It says, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. And again, in verse 10, he who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. So two times in two verses, Solomon warns that a babbling fool will be ruined. So what is it to be a babbler? Well, I think a babbler, if we would define it in our own word and our own terms in these days, is somebody who talks idly, somebody who is kind of irrational, kind of someone who just excessively is speaking and talking foolishly. They just can't stop talking. It just their mouth is always running. That's a babbler. Well, literally in the Hebrew, the word is, and this is interesting, a fool of lips. That's what a babbler is translated to when you look at it in the Hebrew. It's a fool of lips. He is a person that rattles on and on talking when instead he should be listening. That's what it is. On and on he speaks. He's a fool of lips. He's rattling on and on and on. And unlike the one who finds value in listening and understanding, this person only likes to hear his own voice. And he is the excessive talker. The wise in heart stands in contrast to this babbler because he receives, it says in verse 8, he receives commands. The babbler doesn't even have time to receive a command because he's too busy talking. He doesn't have any time to hear what anybody else has to say. He doesn't take time to listen and hear. The babbler never stops talking, and so he can never hear. And it's interesting how it's described that the babbler's end will be. It will be ruin. And literally in the Hebrew there is that he will be defeated. And whatever endeavor it is that the babbler puts his hands to, he will be defeated. And that's a powerful judgment upon a babbler. But we need to take that to heart when we think of one who talks excessively. And so this is the excessive talker. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, do I stop talking long enough to hear what others have to say? Or am I so concerned about only what I have to say that I talk, talk, talk? If you just flip over a few pages to Ecclesiastes 5, there's an interesting little passage. Now this is specifically, the context is specifically speaking about coming into the house of God, coming into the place of worship. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And this is something that Solomon is encouraging in the household of God and in the presence of God. But we need to remind ourselves that we live our entire lives in the presence of God. And we ought to make sure that as we live before him, that we listen a lot and that our words are few. Because this warning is a very powerful warning. In excessive words, if you're one who is speaking all the time, always having something to say, there will be sin. And we need to avoid that as best we can. So that's our third category. The fourth category is the impulsive speaker. And here's the one who responds without thinking. Chapter 18 of Proverbs and verse 13 says this. Chapter 18 and verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Here's the picture of someone who doesn't know all the facts about a situation, but he is going to give his opinion anyway. He comes into a conversation, hasn't been there for the whole conversation, hears something in his ears and gives his opinion about it. And everybody has to tell him, well, you missed the whole first part of the conversation and what you're saying makes no sense whatsoever. And he looks like an idiot because he doesn't hear everything before he makes a judgment. Another example is given to us in chapter 7, in verse 17 of this same chapter. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. And so the impulsive talker hears the perspective of one person and says, oh yeah, he's got a strong case. And he doesn't listen to the other side before he makes judgment, but he brings down his judgment having heard half the story. And there's the impulsive talker, the one who didn't take enough time to listen to all the information before he makes a decision and begins to talk. And such people are seen to be fools, and they look like idiots before everyone that they sit before. Another consequence of the hasty speaker is seen in chapter 12 and verse 18. Chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword." There's one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword. Now, what does a sword do when it's thrusted? It cuts, doesn't it? Injures and hurts people. I should have called on you, Silas. I saw you raise your hand. A sword cuts and hurts people. It injures people because it doesn't take the time to consider what effect the words will have on those to whom he is speaking. And so are you careful about the words that you speak? Are you careful that those words would not be cutting and would not be thoughtless and in the presence of those with whom that you are speaking? Because our words can be very cutting and very hurtful. And the lasting damage that can be done with such words can last a long time. It doesn't go away very quickly sometime. Some people are very forgiving and are able to say, "I forgive you," when you come and say, "My words were cutting. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." But some are not so ready to forgive. And you can destroy relationships by having quick, cutting, thoughtless words coming out of ourselves. Well, there's another result that we see in chapter 29 and verse 20 about the impulsive speaker. Chapter 29 and verse 20, it says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." A man who is hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool. Can you imagine? We described the fool before, and a fool is a real fool. But he says there is more hope for a person who is a fool than for one who is hasty in his words. There's more hope for a fool than for him. When we think about hastiness and impulsiveness with talking, there's a few applications I just want to bring to us before we move on to our next category. And the first is this: such people who have the problems of speaking like this often have a hard time keeping a job, because he's always shooting off his mouth. He's always giving his opinion. He's always telling his boss what he ought to do. And people don't like that. And so you see, this kind of language, this kind of talking that comes out of a person can destroy their careers. And it can have an impact upon their families financially because of the fact that they couldn't control their speech. Such a person oftentimes has a hard time maintaining friendships because their words are so cutting and their words are so thoughtless. People don't like to be around them. You think about how embarrassing it is to be in a family with one of your parents who is like that, and you have to say, you know, in so many ways I see that my mom or my dad, they're fools. The way that they talk thoughtlessly, they talk cuttingly and excessively, and how embarrassing it can be to a family, and what a bad example it is to your children who are looking upon you. And how much damage can be done by such a tongue in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much damage can be done. There can be divisions in amongst brethren. There's people who are speaking to other people and putting others down, and there's damage that is done. There's more hope for a fool than one who can't control their mouth. Take that to heart and think seriously about that before you speak. Number five, category number five is the boaster. One of the most unappealing things in any person is when he goes about tooting his own horn. Chapter 27 and verse 2. Chapter 27 and verse 2. It says, do not boast about tomorrow in verse 1, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Solomon told his sons, don't go out and tell people how good you are. Don't explain to them that you've done this and you've done that and you've done the other thing, but rather go out and live a life which will exemplify the things that you want to tell them, and then let them tell others about you. That's what he says in verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. How unbecoming it is for a Christian who is always telling other people about the things that they do and how good they are at the things that they do. It is very unbecoming to any Christian man or woman to speak like that. And so we need to avoid praising ourselves, as Solomon tells his son. But another thing which develops from this, and it takes us back to our first category, it tends to embellishment when people talk about themselves. And I think if you know people who talk about themselves, sometimes you wonder, I wonder if that's really true, what he's saying about themselves. I wonder if that's really the case. Well, look at chapter 25 and verse 14. 25 and verse 14. And this is very vivid imagery. It says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. So when you have clouds and you have wind, you think you have a storm, right? But there's no rain. And it's kind of like, you know, it kind of feels like, well, there should be rain. There should be some substance, because otherwise I don't really feel like a storm. Well, he says that's what it's like with a man who boasts about his gifts falsely. It's a picture of a person who's always talking about himself, and he's boasting about himself that he can do this and he can do that. But when you look at it, when you look at the end result, there's really nothing that's there. There's nothing that can be found. There's no rain with the clouds and the wind. And there's all this talk, but there's no fruit. There's no fruit at the end of it. There's all this talk, but there's no reality that comes out of it. And it's an ugly thing. And mostly everybody can see through it. When you see such a person at work or in church or wherever you see such a person, you look at it and you notice it. And kids, I want to warn you not to brag on yourself when you're young. Don't brag on yourself, because it can become a bad habit to brag on yourself. And there are some people that start when they're young, and it's just hard for them to stop. They haven't been taught how they ought to speak and talk about themselves to others, and it's ugly, and it perpetuates itself through the years of their lives, and just not somebody that people want to be around. And so the boaster is set before us in the Proverbs as an example of what to avoid. Then finally, the gossip. What do we say about the gossip? The gossip does so much damage. Chapter 11 and verse 9. Chapter 11 and verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. Slander and gossip, we already talked about them. Slander and gossip are powerful tools in the destruction of somebody's reputation. A good name is something that is to be valued, and it's something that takes a lifetime to establish. One of the writers, one of the commenters on the scriptures, Kitchen, said these words: we are only one rumor away from being thus destroyed. With the one who is willing to blaspheme our name, slander our name, and speak about us in an untruthful way, we're one rumor away from being thus destroyed. A reputation that you have taken your whole life to set up before people, and then a rumor starts somewhere about you. It could be a lie, but this rumor spreads out amongst people that you work with. It spreads out amongst your church members. Or church brothers and sisters. It spreads to other churches, and everybody hears what has happened. And it may not even be true. And your reputation is smeared, because not every one of those people is probably going to be corrected in the future. Perhaps some of them will be, but most of them will not be. And how great a danger and how great destruction is wrought by the mouth of the godless man that destroys his neighbor. And note that it's the mouth of the godless man. May it never be the mouth of the righteous that speaks this way about people and destroys a man's reputation. Because when the words are spoken, the damage is done. In chapter 11 and verse 19, we have another aspect of gossiping. Chapter 11 and verse 13 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." There are things that some people have no right to hear. Somebody may have spoken to you in confidence about a particular situation, and you have no filter, and you have no understanding in your mind that I shouldn't say this in front of some people. And so whatever company you're in, it comes out of your mouth. Something that was said in confidence, it comes out of your mouth, and it's broadcast across the spectrum. And now everybody knows the secret that you were supposed to keep. No filter, no ability to be able to discern when and when things ought not to be spoken. And when you think about such a person, as we bring it to application to our own hearts, you have to ask yourself the question, am I a trustworthy person? Am I one that somebody can come and speak to and bring a concealed matter to and open it up and share it with me, because they have the right to do that without me going and splattering it abroad in the streets and airing that person's perhaps dirty laundry? Perhaps a person was confessing some sin to you, and now you go out and you confess that sin to everybody about that person. How inappropriate and how disgusting that is. Are you a trustworthy person? And then you need to ask yourself the question also, what kind of friends do you have? Do you have trustworthy friends that you can speak to and know that they will maintain a confidence? Or are you speaking to people who are not trustworthy? Chapter 20 and verse 19 says this, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with gossip." You know somebody to be a gossip? Why would you associate with them? Solomon states it very clearly. You know somebody who goes about as a slanderer revealing secrets? Don't associate with that kind of a person, because it's going to get you into trouble. One more aspect that I want to bring to our attention, and this is such a cutting, and I alluded to it a little bit already, but chapter 18 and verse 8, perhaps not a verse that we think about a lot, but a very, very important principle. Chapter 18 and verse 8, it says, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body." The gossip poisons the minds of those that he speaks to. That's what he does. He poisons the mind of the one who is willing to receive his or her trash that she's spewing out or he's spewing out when he brings gossip to your ears. And you know what happens when a person is listening to gossip is that they begin to question the integrity of people that they should have no reason to question the integrity about. You know, oftentimes gossipers like to undermine the goodness of a person, and so they spread seeds of slander about that person. And you think, well, you know, I'm strong enough. You know, I know that that person is a gossiper. But you know what? In the back of your mind, there was something that that person said. And then you begin to look at your brother and sister in Christ who that was spoken about. And all of a sudden, you begin to think, I wonder really if I can trust that person. Or perhaps somebody says something to you about your pastor. Now, you have no reason to believe that your pastor has desired anything but your good all of your life. But somebody begins to sow a seed in your mind, and you just begin to question, I wonder if that guy up there really is really in this for my good, or he really is just in it for his own benefit. And the seeds of gossip can begin to break down your confidence in your brothers and your sisters and your pastors and your friends because a seed has been planted in your mind. There's just a thought that maybe I shouldn't trust this person when you have no reason not to trust that person. The whisperer, the words of the whisperer is like dainty morsels, and they go down to the innermost parts of the body and they stay there. And they percolate, and they can cause great, great damage. This kind of gossip destroys relationships. It ruins churches. It's vile. And so that's the scourge of the unbridled tongue. There's no doubt many more things that could be said about it. But do you see it? Do you see that the scourge of the unbridled tongue, how dangerous it can be, how ugly it is, how painful and how damaging it can be? As we close this part of the study, I want you to look at chapter 16. And here we have a picture of a vile person. And it's a powerful text. Chapter 16 and verses 27 and 28. A worthless man digs up evil. He's digging it up. He's going to find some evil and he's going to dig it up. He digs up evil while his words are like a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Almost everything we covered is in those two verses. That's the kind of a person that you want to stay away from. Their mouth is set on fire by hell. And they seek to destroy, they seek to promote strife and slander and to promote evil with their lips. And that is the kind of a person that we need to avoid. Don't be one who provides such words. And don't be one who listens to such words. So we've seen six categories of the unbridled speech: the liar, the foolish mouth, the excessive talker, the impulsive talker, the boaster, and the gossip. Now, I just want to read several verses because we have touched on this already a little bit, and then just make two observations. But I want to just read several verses that talk about the consequences of the unbridled tongue, the consequences. And listen to these passages. Chapter 10 and verses 8 and 10. We read these verses before. A babbling fool will be thrown down. He will be defeated. The babbling fool will be defeated. He wants to succeed in various areas in his life, but he won't. He'll be defeated. Maybe there'll be some success for a moment, but in the end, he's going to be defeated. He's going to be thrown down. Chapter 10 and verse 14. With the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Do you have a foolish mouth? Know that ruin is at hand. Chapter 13 and verse 3, the one who opens wide his lips will come to ruin. You're always talking, you're opening wide your lips, always have something to say. Beware that you'll come to ruin. Chapter 18 and verse 7, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are the snare of his soul. Chapter 19 and verses 5 and 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. You won't go unpunished and you will perish. And then finally, 21:28, a false witness will perish. What observation? There is ruin stated for the unbridled tongue in this life and in the next life. The unguarded lips that you speak with in this life will destroy. Unguarded lips, we've seen already, can destroy somebody vocationally, economically, because they're unable to hold a job, or they undermine somebody's good name and they no longer have the ability to earn money. It destroys people personally. It destroys relationships. There are severe consequences that come from loose lips. Severe consequences. But the most severe are the spiritual consequences. We see that the false witness will perish. But I want to remind you of chapter 18 and verse 7 again. And even if you turn there and look at the words, chapter 18 and verse 7, it says, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are the snare of his soul. The unguarded speech can bring the most severe consequences. And those severe consequences are that it can drag your soul into hell. It can drag your very soul into hell if you will continue to speak with an unbridled speech, never confessing or forsaking the sins of the lips. It says there in the second half of that verse, 18:7, his lips are the snare of his soul. And that the snare is a picture of a trap. And he says with his own lips, he's making a trap for himself. And that trap captures him and holds him. And that trap can drag him down into hell if his sin is not repented of. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, speaking about our words and how they reflect those things that are in our hearts, it says from within, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in that context, it says, for by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. In the day of judgment, we're going to answer for our words. And what is the Lord going to find in the day of judgment when he looks at our words, when he hears all the words that he has heard, and he has never heard for us, Lord, forgive me for the sins of my lips. Lord Jesus, may your blood cover me, and may I find healing and cleansing in the blood of Christ, which is the only place to find healing and cleansing in the blood of Christ. What were your words say about you in the day of judgment? Will your words drag you down into hell? Or will you, by your words, be justified, because in the blood of Jesus Christ, he has cleansed you from all of your sins. And now the righteousness of Christ has been credited to your account. What a glorious thing we have as the people of God to trust in such a Savior. But may it be that if you're here today without Christ, that you would recognize that your words will drag you down into hell if you don't confess your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, as we come before you, we would pray that you would forgive our sins. We pray that you would cleanse us from unrighteousness. We know, Lord, that so often we sin with our lips. Lord, we pray that you would sanctify our lips, and we pray that we would be like our Savior and speak those things which are good for edification to those who are around us. Father, we pray that each one in this place would find cleansing for the sins of their lips only in the Lord Jesus Christ. May they not find help in the renovation of their mouths, the renovation of their lips, but may it only be that we would find cleansing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to find healing and cleansing and forgiveness in our Savior. How we're so thankful, Lord, for our Savior and for the cleansing we have in His blood. Receive our thanks and our praise, and we pray that these things that we have heard this morning would not quickly leave us, but that we would meditate upon these things and be more like our Savior. And it's in His name that we ask it. Amen.